Welcome to Zichu Chumash Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Yud Ches, the first parak, Shivas Yamim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah teaches that the Kohen Gadol was provided with the elders all 7 days he was sequestered, who read to him the order of the day from Parshas Achrimos, and they said to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, krata beficho, shema shechachto, shema lo madata. My master Kohen Gadol, read it with your own mouth, for maybe you've forgotten it or never learned it. The Gemara asks, how is it possible the Kohen Gadol is not familiar with the Avodah? For it's taught in a Braisa, the Pasuk states, V'ha-Kohen ha-Gadol me'echov, and the Kohen who is exalted above his brothers. She'ha-Gadol me'echov b'koch b'noi b'choch b'osher. This teaches that the Kohen Gadol must be greater than his brothers in strength, beauty, wisdom, and wealth. So Rav Yosef answered that the Mishnah is referring to the period of Bais Sheni, when the corrupt kings of the Chashmon Nine began to sell the office of Kohen Gadol to the highest bidder, even if he wasn't familiar with the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Point number two, the Mishnah continues, Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris Mamidin Oso B'Shar Mizrach. On the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, they stand him at the eastern gate of the Azorah. Mavirim Lefanav Parim Be'elim Kvasim Kadeshi Yemakir V'Ragabu Avodah. And they lead before him oxen, rams, and sheep so that you should recognize him and be familiar with the Yom Kippur service. The Gemara brings a brisa that states that goats were also brought before the Kohen Gadol on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, and asks why our Tana didn't mention them. When the Gemara answers, since they come to atone for sin, the Kohen Gadol might become despondent upon seeing them. The Gemara follows up and notes that a chatas bull should also not be brought, since it comes to atone for sin. To this, the Gemara responds that since it comes to atone for the Kohen Gadol and for all the Kohanim, if there is anyone among the Kohanim who is something that must be corrected, the Kohen Gadol is aware of it and gets him to do teshuva. However, among all Yisrael from whom the goats come to atone, he cannot know who committed a sin. Therefore, seeing them will make him despondent. And point number three, in context of discussing which foods were withheld for the Kohen Gadol Erev Yom Kippur to prevent a seminal emission, the Gemara mentions the measures that certain Amoraim took to maintain their level of purity while traveling. Whenever Rav or Rav Nachman would visit a place, they would seek a woman who would be willing to marry them for the days they were there and then get divorced. When the Gemara asks how that is possible, given that there's a braisa that teaches that one should not marry women in different countries lest her children unknowingly come to marry one another, the Gemara answers, Rabbanan Kala Esau, the rabbis were famous, so the children would be well known. When Rava asks how it was still possible, given that the women were required to observe 7 clean days before the wedding, the Gemara answers that the rabbis would send a messenger in advance so that women could prepare. Another answer was that the rabbis would only live privately with them, but would not engage in marital relations. Because there's no comparison between one who has bread in his basket to one who has no bread in his basket. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah teaches that the Kohen Gadol was provided with the elders all 7 days he was sequestered, who read to him the order of the day from Parshas Achrimos. And they said to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, krata beficho, shema shechachto, shema lo madata. My master Kohen Gadol, read it with your own mouth, for maybe you've forgotten it or never learned it. The Gemara asks, how is it possible the Kohen Gadol is not familiar with the Avodah? For it's taught in a Braisa, the Pasuk states, V'ha-Kohen ha-Gadol me'echov, and the Kohen who is exalted above his brothers. She'ha-Gadol me'echov b'koch b'noi b'choch b'osher. This teaches that the Kohen Gadol must be greater than his brothers in strength, beauty, wisdom, and wealth. So Rav Yosef answered that the Mishnah is referring to the period of Bais Sheni, when the corrupt kings of the Chashmon Nine began to sell the office of Kohen Gadol to the highest bidder, even if he wasn't familiar with the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Point number two, the Mishnah continues, Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris Mamidin Oso B'Shar Mizrach. On the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, they stand him at the eastern gate of the Azorah. Mavirim Lefanav Parim Be'elim Kvasim Kadeshi Yemakir V'Ragabu Avodah. And they lead before him oxen, rams, and sheep so that you should recognize him and be familiar with the Yom Kippur service. The Gemara brings a brisa that states that goats were also brought before the Kohen Gadol on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur and asks why our Tana didn't mention them. When the Gemara answers, since they come to atone for sin, the Kohen Gadol might become despondent upon seeing them. The Gemara follows up and notes that a chatas bull should also not be brought, since it comes to atone for sin. To this, the Gemara responds that since it comes to atone for the Kohen Gadol and for all the Kohanim, if there is anyone among the Kohanim who is something that must be corrected, the Kohen Gadol is aware of it and gets him to do teshuva. However, among all Yisrael from whom the goats come to atone, he cannot know who committed a sin. Therefore, seeing them will make him despondent. And point number three, in context of discussing which foods were withheld from the Kohen Gadol Erev Yom Kippur to prevent a seminal emission, the Gemara mentions the measures that certain Amoraim took to maintain their level of purity while traveling. Whenever Rav or Rav Nachman would visit a place, they would seek a woman who would be willing to marry them for the days they were there and then get divorced. Now, when the Gemara asks how that's possible, given that there's a braisa that teaches that one should not marry women in different countries, lest their children unknowingly come to marry one another, the Gemara answers, Rabbanan kala esluhu. The rabbis were famous, so the children would be well known as her offspring. When Rava asked how it was still possible, given that the women were required to observe 7 clean days before the wedding, the Gemara answers that the rabbis would send a messenger in advance so the woman could prepare. Another answer was that the rabbis would only live privately with them, but would not engage in marital relations. Because there's no comparison between one who has bread in his basket to one who has no bread in his basket. All right, so now we go to our simfer dav yud ches, and our standard simon is a chuppah, because a ben yud ches a chuppah. An 18-year-old goes a chuppah. So here goes. The wealthy illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, who covered his eyes whenever he saw a goat, didn't realize his kala only married him for the money and was planning to get divorced as soon as he left town. Once again, in slow motion. The wealthy illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, that must mean we're on daf yud ches. The wealthy illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that the Kohen Gadol was provided with the elders all 7 days he was sequestered, who read to him the order of the day from Parshas Achrimos, and they said to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol kra tabaficha, shema shachakta, shema lo marita. My master Kohen Gadol, read it with your own mouth, or maybe you've forgotten it, or never learned it. The Gemara asks, how is it possible the Kohen Gadol is not familiar with the Avodah? For it's taught in Braisa, the Pasuk says, Vaha Kohen HaGadol Me'echav, and the Kohen who is exalted above his brothers. Shehe Gadol Me'echav B'koach B'noi B'chachma B'osher. This teaches that the Kohen Gadol must be greater than his brothers in strength, beauty, wisdom, and wealth. Rabbi Yosef answered, the mission is referring to the period of Baal Sheni when the corrupt kings of the Chashmonaim began to sell the office of Kohen Gadol the highest bidder, even if he wasn't familiar with the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So, the wealthy illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, who covered his eyes whenever he saw a goat, which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, they stood at the Kohen Gadol at the eastern gate of the Azorah, and they led before him oxen, rams, and sheep, so that he should recognize them and be familiar with the Yom Kippur service. The Gemara brings a brisa that states, the goats were also brought before the Kohen Gadol on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, and ask why our Tana did not mention them. When the Gemara answers that, since they come to atone for a sin, the Kohen Gadol might become despondent upon seeing them, the Gemara follows up and notes that a chatas bull should also not be brought, since it comes to atone for sin. To this, the Gemara responds that since the chatas bull comes to atone for the Kohen Gadol and for all the Kohanim, if there's anyone among the Kohanim who has something that must be corrected, the Kohen Gadol is aware of it, and he gets him to do teshuva. However, among all Israel from whom the goats come to atone, he can't know who committed a sin. Therefore, seeing them will make him despondent. So the wealthy illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, who covered his eyes whenever he saw a goat, didn't realize his kala only married him for the money and was planning to get divorced as soon as he left town. Which reminds us, whenever Rav or Rav Nachman would visit a place, they would seek a woman who would be willing to marry them for the days they were there and then get divorced. When the Gemara asks how that's possible, given that there's a brisa that teaches that one should not marry women in different countries lest their children unknowingly come to marry one another, the Gemara answers, Rabbanan kala esluhu, the rabbis were famous, so the children would be well known as their offspring. When Rava asks how it was still possible, given that the women were required to observe 7 clean days before the wedding, the Gemara answers that the rabbis would send a messenger in advance so the woman could prepare. Another answer was that the rabbis would only go privately with them, but would not engage in marital relations. Because there's no comparison between one who has bread in his basket to one who has no bread in his basket. So once again, the wealthy illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, who covered his eyes whenever he saw a goat, didn't realize his kala only married him for the money and was planning to get divorced as soon as he left town. All right, now it's time for four blah back chazorah. Daf Yadalit. So the simmer Daf Yadalit is Yud, hand. So here goes. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands, that must be more on Daf Yadalit. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing huzzah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled that tower person, making him Tameh. Which reminds the next mission taught that all 7 days of the Kohen Gadol is sequestered, he does the Avodah in order to make him proficient in the various aspects of the Avodah which were typically not assigned to him. Rav Chisa says Rav Kiva cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah, since he said, Tar shenapu lav hazah timatu, a tower person upon whom fell a sprinkling of water containing the Parduma ashes, thereby becomes Tameh. Since we know that hazah is done in the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, how would he be able to perform the Avodah during this time? The Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. The pasuk could have stated, "Behiza ha-tahor alav," the tahor person shall sprinkle the purification waters upon him, and it'd be obvious that the person is tame. Why did the pasuk add the words al ha-tame upon the tame? We can infer from here, al ha-tame tahor, ba'al ha-tahor tame. The tahor person becomes tahor, and the tahor person becomes tame. The Rabban say it's a kal v'chomer. If the tame person becomes tahor, doesn't it follow the tahor person should remain tahor? So the Kohen who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing huzzah was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled the tower person, making him tamei, that he carried the mechatas away for no reason, making himself tamei. Which reminds the Gemara questions how Rabbi Akiva would respond to the Rabban's Kal Vachomer, and answers that he'd respond that with respect to the Kal Vachomer, that Shlomo Melch stated, Amarti echama v'hi rechoka mimeni. I said I'd become wise, but alas, it's still beyond me. We see that even though the Kal Vachomer dictates that the tower person should remain tower, Shlomo Melch himself acknowledged the phenomena that he, in fact, becomes tamei. According to the Rabban, what Shlomo Melch found beyond comprehension was the fact that the one who sprinkles the waters and the one upon whom the waters are sprinkled are both tahor, whereas the one who touches the waters for purposes other than sprinkling becomes tamei. When the Rabban challenged the fact that the pasuk states that the mazeh, the one who sprinkles Shalmeris's garments, clearly indicating that he is tamei, they answered that the word mazeh is referring to the one who carries the water for reasons other than sprinkling. The reason that he's referred to as the mazeh is to teach that he only becomes tamei if he's carrying the minimum shear for hazah. So the Kohen who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing hazah was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled a tower person, making him tamei, that he carried the mechatas away for no reason, making himself tamei, thereby losing his opportunity to burn the ketores and prepare the menorah. Which reminds the Mishnah here that states that the Kohen Gadol burned the ketores and lit the lamps during his 7 days of being sequestered, which implies that the ketores was burned first, goes according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, whereas the Mishnah Tamid that teaches the ketores is burnt after the preparation of the lamps reflects the opposing view of the Chachamim. Daf Tezvav, so the Simmer Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl, that must be one Daf Tezvav. The Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, and threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a chatas, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, changes the procedure of the Tamid, and says that after the Kohen throws the blood on the northeast corner, instead of then throwing it on the southwest corner, he comes to the southwest corner, he places the blood on the western wall of the Mizbech, and then, after rounding the corner, he places the blood on the southern wall. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah requires two distinct applications of the blood, unlike any other ola. And Rabbi Yochanan answers in the name of one of the members of Rabbi Yana's yeshiva that says in the pasuk, in connection with the additional kabbanas brano shchodesh, usir izim echad o chatas l'Hashem al olas hatamid yaseh nevisko, and one he goat for a chatas to Hashem, in addition to the olas hatamid shall be made and its wine libation. Now the tamid is an ola, yet in this pasuk the Torah states that the Kohen shall perform the procedure of a chatas in connection with it. So how is this done? He performs one application, that's tantamount to two, by dashing the blood on the northeast corner, like an ola, and then does separate applications on the southwest corner, like a chatas. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half, which reminds the Gemara questions Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's interpretation of the Zrikas Adam procedure for the tamid. Let the Kohen place the first blood application, which is Achashi Hishtaim, one that is tantamount to two, below in the lower half of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Ola, in the manner prescribed for an Ola, and then place the next application, which is Shtaim Shen Shtaim, two that are in fact two, above on the upper part of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Chattas, in the manner prescribed for a Chattas. Why place the latter applications, which are supposed to resemble those of a Chattas, on the lower half of the Mizbech, in a manner inconsistent with the procedure of a Chattas? The Gemara answers, L'matzimu Dami Shechetzin L'mal V'chetzin L'mata. We don't find anywhere blood applications of which half are placed above and half are placed below. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood on the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half, and always turn to the right. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Kohen applied the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, and then the southwest, instead of the reverse order, and answers that it is said, Kol pina sha'taponet lo yihu ela derech yamin lo mizrach. All the turns that you make in the performing of the avodah should only be to the right and to the east. Bereish b'ha'upag. And so it happens that the Kohen would encounter that corner, the northeast corner, first. Daf Tezayin. So the Simmer Daf Tezayin is toes. So here goes. The Kohen, who is jumping up on his tippy toes, that must be more Daf Tezayin. The Kohen who is jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezer's Nashim, which reminds us, Rav Huna said the anonymous Tanu Tam Masechtas Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, based on the following Mishnah Midos that details the Ezer's Nashim in the base of Migdash, and the four chambers that were located in the four corners. The southeastern chamber was the Lishkas HaNazirim, the northeastern chamber was the Lishkas Dira Eitz, and the northwestern chamber was the Lishkas HaMutzarayim. And regarding the southwestern chamber, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Shachachti Mahaisa Meshameshas, I forgot what function it served. Avashul said they used it to place wine and oil and called it Lishkas Beis Shemanya. So Rashi explains that the Mishnah quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the end of the Mishnah implies he was the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah. So the Kohen who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. Which reminds, the Gemara brings another proof that the anonymous Tana of Masech the Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, based on a mission that states that all the walls that were there enclosing Har Abayis and its structures were very tall except for the eastern wall, so that the Kohen who burned the paraduma could stand on Har Azazim, which is east of the Har Abayis, and aim and look towards the entrance of the Heichal at the time of sprinkling the blood of the paraduma. The Gemara deduces from a serious Mishnah that this must reflect the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the floor of the Heichal is 20 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis. Given that all the temple gates were 20 amos high, it would have been impossible for the Kohen burning the para to see the Heichal through the eastern gate. This is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower, so that the Kohen could look over it and see the Heichal. According to the Chamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and held that the floor of the Heichal was 19 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis, there was no need to lower the eastern wall. So the Kohen, who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim, was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. That was not blocked by the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, Rav Avi bar Abba said that the anonymous Tana who states the eastern wall is lower is Rabbi Yehuda, based on a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mizbeach stood precisely in the middle of the Azara. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach obstructed the view of the Heichal for one looking to the eastern gate of Har Abayis, and this is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower than the others. But the Gemara rejects this based on the fact that the anonymous Tana Emidos teaches that the majority of the 62 amos comprising the ramp and the Mizbeach were in the southern half of the Azara. So we can conclude from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana and not Rabbi Yehuda. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simur Daf Yud Zayin is a used car. So here goes. After finally making a sale, the used car salesman, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. After finally making a sale, the used car salesman drove to the very long Chamber of Lambs restaurant, which reminds us the Gemara Daf Tezvav Amun Beis introduced a contradiction between a Mishnah and Tamu which stated that the Lishka Satlaim, the Chamber of Lambs, where lambs that had been inspected and blemish free were restored, was in the northwest corner of the base of Moked, and a Mishnah and Midos which stated that it was in the southwest corner. On this Daf, Rav Adabrader of Yitzhak said that that chamber extended towards both corners on the western side of the base of Moked, but did not quite reach each corner. To one coming from the north, the chamber appeared to be mainly in the south of the hall, and to one coming from the south, it appeared to be mainly in the north. So after finally making a sale, the used car salesman drove to the very long Chamber of Lambs restaurant and parked on the southwest corner across from the Lechem Apanim bakery, which reminds Ravada concludes that it's reasonable to say that the Lishka Satlaim was mainly in the southwestern segment based on how a contradiction was resolved between the two Mishnayos regarding the location of the Lishka where the Lechem Apanim was made, which was in the southeast corner of the base of Moked. Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua said that the Mishnah Midos enumerates the chambers in the direction of left to right, whereas the Tana of the Mishnah Tamid enumerates the chambers in the direction of right to left. This answer only makes sense if the Lishka Satlaim was mainly in the southwest. When the Gemara questions how Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua could suggest that the Mishnah Tamid goes from right to left, when we learn that all the turns that you make should be to the right and to the east, and answers that this rule only applies with regard to Avodah, but here, it's merely an enumeration of the location of the chambers. So after finally making a sale, the used car salesman drove to the very long Chamber of Lambs restaurant and parked on the southwest corner across from the Lechem Apanim bakery, where a Kohen Gadol walked out carrying 5 loaves. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Shekohen Gadol makriv chelk barosh v'notel chelk barosh. The Kohen Gadol has the first right to offer any portion and to take any portion. So a brisa is brought here that states when it comes to taking loaves, he takes 1 loaf from the Shtei Lechem and 4 or 5 loaves from the Lechem Apanim. Revi says he always takes 5 loaves, for it's written, Maisel Aaron Levanav, and it, referring to the Lechem Apanim, shall be to Aaron and to his sons. This implies Mechsel Aaron, Mechsel Levanav, half to Aaron and half to his sons. So Abai understands that the first din is in accordance with the Rabban who maintain that the Kohen Gadol takes less than half. The reason they hold that he takes 1 of the 2 loaves of the Shtei Lechem is that the Rabban concede with regard to a broken bread that it's improper to give such a piece to the Kohen Gadol. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtos. Number 1, which stuff in the Rav Adam Breda Rav Yitzhak said the Lishka's base of Tlaim was very long and extend to both corners of the western side of the base of Moked? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 2, which stuff in the eastern wall of Har Abayis had to be lowered so the Kohen burning the paraduma could see the Heichal as he aimed towards it? That's on Daf Tez Zayin. Good. Number 3, which of the one that Rav and Rav Nachman would marry women in places they traveled to and then divorce them? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 4, which of the one that having a second Kohen Gadol on the wings will make the Kohen Gadol even more of a Zaris? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 5, Which stuff do we learn that we never find blood applications where half the blood is placed above on the Mizbeach and half below? That's on Daf. Tezva. Good number six. Which stuff do we learn Kohanim Gadolim during Bayis Sheni bought their positions and needed to be taught how to do the Avodah of Yom Kippurim? That's on Daf. Yedches. Good number seven. Which stuff do we learn Abai says the reason the Rabbanon hold the Kohen Gadol gets one loaf of the Shtei Alechem is that it's not respectful to give him only a piece? That's on Daf. Yidzayin. Good number eight. Which of the one the Rav Yudah holds, the Mizbeach was in the middle of the Azara, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds it was primarily in the southern part. That's on Daf. Tezayin. Good number nine. Which of the one the Rav Ada holds, that the Lishkas Tlaim was primarily in the southwest corner of the Beis HaMoked. That's on Daf. Yidzayin. Good. Number 10. Which of the one that the Mishnah here in Yuma, which states that the Kohen Gadol was mocked to the Ketores and made to the Neros, goes according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. That's on Daf. Your dog. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which stuff do you want that my machronim is a choba because of Melech Stomies? That's on Daf. Yidzayin and Erevan. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you want that Tamas Chus Avos? That's on Daf. Nunhei and Shavas. Good. And number three. Which stuff do you want that one of the activities on the 15th of Adar was marking the graves? That's on Daf. Gimel and Shkolim. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.